Hello, everybody, and welcome back to CJ Evolution. And for Wednesday, August 12, 2015, my name is Pat Fitzgibbons. I am your host, creator of CJ Evolution, this brand new podcast hosted by me, a law enforcement professional, folks. Yes, I am the real deal. You can see my picture on iTunes. You can see me on Podbeam. That is me, folks. I'm a real police officer. That is my real name, Pat Fitzgibbons, and I work in the great state of Colorado. And the reason why I want to say that is because I am authentic, people. Like I said, I am the real deal. There's some people out there that probably aren't the real deal, but I am. I think there's a lot of cop groupies out there, is my point. I think there's people out there that want to be cops, that pretend that they're cops, but aren't really cops. Again, folks, I'm the real deal. You can check me out, check out my LinkedIn, check out my Twitter page. I am who I say I am, folks. All right, I'm off my soapbox, and welcome back to this brand new podcast. It's been a while, but I'm glad I'm back. I am working tonight. It's the great night, pretty slow night. So I thought I'd record another podcast in case I sound different. And I'm glad each of you can tune in. And I was going to talk tonight about some myths in law enforcement. I always get questions because I teach, too. I'm a college professor, and I teach a variety of courses for some institutions here in Colorado. And I always get questions from students regarding myths or misconceptions that they have about people in law enforcement. So I remember about 2 days ago, I was getting some questions from students, and they always, you know, kind of want to pick my brain about certain things. And I am, you know, and by no means Mr. Know-it-all. I don't profess to be, and if I come across that way, I apologize. That's not my intention, but I do know some stuff. I've been a cop for 20 years, so I remember some of the questions they are asking me. Oh, let me just go down. I made some notes right here. One of the questions was, can police officers search a car if they want to, without having a, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this questions, but the gist of it is, can police officers search a car for no reason? And the answer, of course, is no. We have to have probable cause to search a car. But there are exceptions to the search warrant of a car, too, because of the very fact that cars, vehicles are mobile. But we still need probable cause. You don't necessarily need a warrant to search a vehicle because of that mobility factor, meaning it can drive away. But you need that standard of probable cause to search a vehicle. So the answer is, you know, we still need a reason. We just can't search cars for the heck of it. So what other questions? When do you have to advise somebody of their rights? And I'm assuming this person means, or this student means, Miranda rights. Well, two things about Miranda, folks. You need two things before Miranda applies, and that is custody and interrogation. Now, what does that mean? That means you have to have both. If you don't have both, Miranda doesn't apply. Custody. What is custody? Well, the obvious thing is having handcuffs on. That's kind of a no-brainer. Handcuffs around your wrist would be considered, any reasonable person would think that was custody. They can't walk away. So that's one part of it. Now, if we want to talk, and what I mean by we, law enforcement, now if we want to talk to that person in custody or interrogate them, then that's when Miranda attaches. So the question is, you know, and because people, again, folks, they get their idea of what law enforcement does based off television shows and the movies. So a lot of people think, well, once the handcuffs go on, you need to Mirandize somebody. You need to advise them of your rights. And that's not necessarily true, but that's what we have grown up with, right, on the TV shows, movies. And I'm not saying to Mirandize somebody, to advise somebody of their rights if you place them under arrest is necessarily a bad thing. I'm not saying that at all. But there are some tactics behind it. If you want somebody to talk to you, or you're hoping that they will talk to you, and they're in custody, and you advise them when you really don't have to, something happens psychologically, folks. Whenever they hear that you have the right to remain silent, most people are going to shut down. So the key with Miranda is knowing when you have to Mirandize somebody, when you have to advise them of their rights. And you don't necessarily have to advise somebody of their rights every time you make an arrest. Now, I know that's hard for some people to grapple, to get their head around, because like I said, most people get what they know about law enforcement and some of the tactics and rules like Miranda from television. And that's the extent of their knowledge in some cases. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if you don't have custody and in interrogation, Miranda does not apply. And I hope that makes sense. We could talk about Miranda forever. But you need two things, custody and Miranda, or custody and interrogation, I'm sorry, before you have to read somebody their Miranda rights. Let me see, another question. How do you stay awake at night? Well, I like to do a lot of proactive activities, get out of my car, walk around, business checks, things like that, because sometimes it does get boring at night, and so you have to stay awake, obviously, and so I get out of the car, walk around, do business checks, you know, drink some coffee here and there. Just staying proactive is going to help you stay awake, kind of, you know, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I've known police officers in the past that will take little cap naps in their car, and I just think that's a, you know, just extremely unsafe, you know, for a variety of reasons. I just don't think it's acceptable. So, you know, just get out of your car, walk around, or that's what I do, you know, to stay awake. And your body gets on a schedule too, so it's a little easier once you're used to nights to stay awake. So let me see here. Another question that I kind of jotted down. Here's one about search and seizure. You know, when can an officer came to my door, I'm kind of paraphrasing again, officer came to my door, or if an officer came to my door, do I have to let the officer in if they want to come in to search my apartment? Different circumstances, you know, if there's exigency to get into the apartment, and they can articulate it, meaning the police or law enforcement, if they can articulate the reason, folks, to get inside, and if, again, articulation is key as far as like exigent circumstances or something like that, then they could probably come in without a warrant. And there's other exceptions too, consent and things of that nature. But if run-of-the-mill contact, I come to your house, knock on the door, hey, I'm so-and-so, do you mind if I come in and search? And you can say no, and barring any exception or a warrant, I can't just come into your house. I can't just come into your house unless I have a good reason. I can articulate it. If I have a warrant, obviously I can enter. But no, again, that's one of those things where, you know, officers just can't walk in. And if they do walk in, you know, and they discover something illegal and they take some enforcement action on that, there are remedies for that. Evidence can get tossed out, you know, exclusionary rule. Exclusionary rule is basically, you know, if the officers make an illegal entry and everything from that illegal entry and subsequent evidence that we seize could be excluded, hence the name, exclusionary rule. So it would get tossed out, possibly, out of court. So let me see here. Going down the line, you see. Some of these are, I'm just kind of trying to pick some better ones out here. Let me see. Chain of command. Here's one about department structure. How are police departments structured in terms of chain of command? Let me see here a little bit more. So I'm what I'm getting from this question is, you know, the structure of law enforcement. And again, departments are different. So most departments, law enforcement, are going to be paramilitary in nature. They're going to have chain of command and different rank and things like that. But no two departments are the same. So you might have some rank, structure as far as, you know, chain of command. You might have a chief. You might have commanders. You might have captains, and then you might have another department that has a chief and maybe a commander, no captains, and maybe a lieutenant. So you kind of get the picture. You get to get the picture. So each department is kind of structured a little bit different. Most departments, again, if not all, are paramilitary in nature. They have that chain of command. They have that, you know, rank and things like that. But again, structure is going to be a little bit different. They could have different positions depending on the agency. I hope that Hope that makes sense. Let me see. Going down the line here. Do you have canines? My department doesn't have canines. We're surrounded by agencies that have canines. So if we needed to use a canine, meaning a dog, then we would probably ask them for assistance. Which means it's the next question is how do you get along? How does your department get along with other agencies? and from a patrol aspect, we get along great. And, you know, and from a command, upper command aspect or view, I think we all get along, fairly well. I mean, we have to. I mean, law enforcement is a close-knit community. I guess, you know, in some departments or some agencies don't get along with other agencies, but the agencies that, that surround my agency, we all get along great. We're all pretty close-knit. We all help each other out. Not uncommon for one agency to go over into the jurisdiction of another agency if they need help, and vice versa. So we all work together. It's a team effort, folks. Remember? No I in team. So we're all part of the same team. So let me see. Last question. I'll take one more question. I'm going to read here. What do you think? Let me see. Patrick, what do you think about what is... What do you think about the climate of law enforcement right now in the wake of all these high-profile cases such as Ferguson and Baltimore? You know, I think law enforcement right now is going through a tricky time, you know, right now. And some of the criticism is warranted, I think, and some of it is not warranted. Again, we sometimes bring on our own problems. But again, that's just my opinion. I mean, we're in that cycle right now where there's a lot of anti-police sentiment out there. And it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. I mean, and again, I think some of it is warranted, meaning we caused it. Some of it is probably not. I think the majority of it is not. What I don't like, and it's unfortunate, and you know, I don't know how you change it, is, you know, the actions of a few, you know, seem to taint everybody in the field. So, and it's always been like that, you know, where, I mean, go back to Rodney King, where you had a bunch of LAPD cops beating up on Rodney King, and everybody in law enforcement, because I was a cop during that time, everybody in law enforcement kind of painted with that same brush. So it's hard, because people don't distinguish, you know, well, I work for this agency, and that wasn't my agency, because that happened over in Baltimore, or it happened over in Ferguson, and... or that was LAPD. People only see a uniform, and that's it. And so, but I do think law enforcement is going through a tricky time now. It's going to take us a while to regain trust back within the community. Some communities, I mean, not all communities, because I think in some communities, you know, law enforcement has great relationships with the community. But I do think that there's a lot of anti-police rhetoric, anti-police sentiment out there. It's unfortunate. It's going to take good leadership. It's going to take, and I'm not just talking about leadership within the department. Leaders in the highest positions in the land, you know, to work on this issue of the climate of law enforcement. And hopefully, we can get back to days where, you know, we have a good relationship with the community. And I feel horrible for places like Ferguson, where I believe the majority of citizens in Ferguson are just trying to make a living, just good, honest, hardworking people. And I think a lot of the officers are just trying to do a job, a very difficult job. But it's just a difficult time over there. And same as Baltimore. So, I mean, it's really, really difficult now for a lot of officers to do their jobs. Yeah, and again, beating this dead horse, I think, you know, some of the criticism is warranted. I think a lot of it isn't. So, alrighty, folks, that's it for this podcast. And I hope everybody's having a great night. It's pretty late where I'm at right now, depending on where you're at. I don't know what time it is where you're at. But it's a beautiful night, very cool, very quiet. And I hope everybody's doing well. Thanks for tuning in, folks. And again, this is a great new podcast. I hope it is a great new podcast. I'm having fun doing it. Again, I'm not on every day because I don't want to just bombard you all the time with podcasts. I want them to be meaningful. I want them to be substantive, and get something out of it. So I really try to take my time just thinking about podcasts before I just get on here and start, you know, just doing a podcast for the sake of doing a podcast. So, folks, for Wednesday, the 12th of August, 2015. I'm signing off, and I hope you join me for our next podcast. And again, I think I said in the last episode that I am on iTunes right now. I'm just excited. I don't think I've gotten my head around the excitement yet, but I'm very, very excited to be on iTunes. You can check me out, CJ Evolution. That's Criminal Justice Evolution, folks. I'm on there. This is going to be archived under episode 9. And you can check me out, download me. You can also give me a review. I'd love to hear from you. Give me a review. Either it's horrible or you like it or whatever. I just want to get some reviews. So you can also check me out on Podbeam. That's where I started out. You can also email me if you want to, pjfitz40 at gmail.com. You can also reach me at patrick@cjevolution.com. Two emails, folks. One of them is my personal, and one of them is my CJ Evolution email. So you can send me, hopefully good stuff with my emails. I was going to give you my cell phone, but I'm probably not going to give that now. Maybe later on down the road. So with that, folks, have a great night, and I will talk with you all soon. Bye-bye.